The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.FM. Episode number 484. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Fanak. Well, for once, this has been pretty common the last few episodes, we don't have non-SEO news. We're going to jump right into the news for SEO. So this is where things get back to normal. Google search ranking volatility. What's going on, Scott?
Yeah, the same old, sort of. So Barry's actually reporting that there's been a lot of volatility on October 2nd, October 10th, October 15th, and then again on October 19th and 20th. Things are kind of crazy. The last time we saw a core update, it wrapped up in September, September 3rd. So you might be seeing all kinds of crazy fluctuations going up and down right now. There's no word from Google about any updates, so we're not really sure what's going on, as a lot of these updates sort of start out as. Is it part of something bigger? We're not really sure. There are a few interesting comments that Barry actually posted from Webmaster World users that I wanted to share. One person said that they're seeing an increase in spam sites and sponsored content that previously had disappeared from results. And he's seeing them, or she, I'm not sure, they have seen this return. A person in Germany has said that news results are hopelessly outdated, in some cases 4 days old. They're not seeing current news results. Maybe that's related to this. Maybe it's not. We're not sure. And another person had said that their rankings are back to exactly how they were before the August core update, which is kind of interesting. Again, a lot of these could be coincidental. We're talking one-offs here, not large numbers of people, but some things to watch out for. And keep your eyes peeled and let us know if you're seeing anything crazy or unusual. I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, it's not the first time it's not the first time I've heard that things have returned back to prior to the August core update. A lot of guys are doing really, really well. And I noticed that they were saying that it's just, they're screwed again. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. I almost wonder, you got to think data centers aren't the same as they used to be. Like you would think they're more homogenized, but maybe not. Maybe they are getting a different data center. I don't know. It's, I feel like I'm dating myself there. I'm not sure if that stuff is, if it works that way anymore.
It kind of sounds like some people are saying cached results from before, but I don't know how realistic that is anymore. I don't think it is, but I don't know. Google changes stuff so frequently that it's really hard to know.
Yeah. And for listeners who don't know what I'm talking about, there still are data centers all around the world that are Google. And sometimes you would get a connection to one particular data center and have different results. I'm sure that's still the same to a degree. I just don't know how much. That's pretty old technology, but then again, it's a big world and there's bound to be a lot of data centers. So,
well, I remember long before, I mean, the world of personalization has gone so far in the last several years. Like it's just crazy. But I remember back, in the earlier days, everything was this, you do a search for whatever, puppies, and you're going to get the same result at every computer searching Google in the world kind of thing. And then it was to the point where I could be sitting next to Ross in the same room on the same network and do the same search and get totally different results every now and then when there was like a Google dance happening. You didn't know where you're going to tap into. Mm-hmm. And now we're kind of back into that a little bit where things are different, but now for different reasons, because they're looking at your search history and your location and you know, so many factors that it's, you don't really see the exact same results on two different computers at the same time.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. I mean, maybe that's one of the questions we could ask if we get John on the show, John Mueller. Is our data center still a factor? I don't know. Anyway, I'll make a note right now. I got to do that or I'll forget.
You will forget, yeah.
Yeah. So this title is very difficult to understand. But first of all, you should know that Fortune Recommends is actually a site, the section. So here's the title. This is from Search Engine Roundtable. Did Google hit Fortune Recommends with a search penalty over site reputation abuse? Question. All right. So here's the lowdown. And we really debated whether or not we were going to talk about this, but it's interesting because a lot of people these days are being pitched, hey, we can get you an authorship. We can get you some visibility on Fortune magazine or Forbes, and here, this is the cost and all this stuff. And they're ludicrous fees, just ludicrous. Out of curiosity, I think I let one person just take me down the funnel a bit to see what it would cost. And it was like $2,000 or something. And maybe it'd be worth it, maybe not. It really depends what you're going to do to milk it. But from an SEO perspective, it sure doesn't sound good. According to Glenn Gabe, and he's been monitoring this, Fortune Recommends may be the next content source that was manually penalized for Google by Google for site reputation abuse. This is based on what he's seen as a heavy drop in rankings as of October 11th. He's been monitoring that. Similar sites that were hit earlier were Forbes Advisor and the AP News Byline, EUYLINE, which dropped heavily. Now, what is site reputation abuse? I know that it's essentially the trying to sell your reputation to others and rub it off. But there's a really good description here, and this is from Google. Site reputation abuse is, quote, when third-party pages are published with little or no first-party oversight or involvement, where the purpose is to manipulate search rankings by taking advantage of the first-party site's ranking signals, unquote. This is Chris Nelson from the Google Search Quality team. So essentially, you can post in these areas and get benefit of the overall site reputation of Forbes or Fortune or AP News. Anyway, it's being hammered on pretty hard. Danny Sullivan did mention in the past that this is all being manually targeted by Google at this stage. It's not in their algorithm yet. So stands to reason, it's probably is a pretty heavy duty penalty on Fortune's Recommends, because the graphic they showed on Search Roundtable was staggering. It is a precipitous drop in visibility. All right, what's next?
Yeah, I'm going to skip over Core Web Vitals and let you talk about that one because you added it, and I'll go to the next one because I added it, and then none of us get confused. Google has made a little bit of a change, and they are dropping the site links search box from search results. So this is a search box, and I don't see it happen very often, but every now and then I run into it, and my screen just moved because Ross copied something. It's troublemaker. So every now and then you'll do a search, and this most commonly appears if you do a brand related search, but not always. Like YouTube, for instance, brings it up, or Reddit brings it up. And that's when you'll see where the site links would normally be in search results. You'll see a search box basically, and you can search and dig deeper into that website's results or index pages. And it works the same way as a site colon operator. So if you did site colon website.com and then some words, that's how it acts. So it's just like kind of a shortcut for that. Google implemented it originally back in 2014. And now they're saying no, as of, I think it's November 21st. Yeah, November 21st, Google is removing it. So, you know, it's not something that I ever really use. It is something I get to see because we're in Canada and we don't always get to see everything, but this feature has been available to us. And I can see it is still active. And like my two examples, YouTube and Reddit, are the ones I used to see if it was showing up, and it did. So if you use that, it's going away. Hopefully this isn't an indicator that the site search command will someday disappear, because that I use that fairly often and for various reasons. And that would really suck if that went away.
It would.
But I don't know that's the case necessarily. I'm just sort of hoping it isn't.
It would be silly if they did, because it's genuinely a benefit of using Google to do research.
And absolutely.
That would just be nuts for them to remove if they really want to be the source of information.
So. Totally.
Not that they don't do things that are nuts, but...
I can't think of what the website is offhand, but there's a website I frequent sometimes and I need to search that site. And their in-house search built onto their website is absolute garbage. You try searching on the site search in the website and it just doesn't work. So I always go to Google and go site search, whatever the site is, and do my searching there. And it always brings up the right stuff. So I use it alternatively just to search a site for whatever. So I don't know how many people do that, but I'm one of them. And if that goes away, I'll cry a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
A little sniffle.
All right. So next up, Google has added People's Insights for unprofessional medical device or advice, I should say. This is Gary Eish, I believe, that might mention this. Is that right?
Oh, you know, it was on SE Roundtable. I'm not sure who the individual was. It might have been. Oh, I don't think Barry. I don't think Barry specified.
Oh, okay. Maybe he's meant as Barry notes is maybe what you're supposed to. Anyway.
Oh, sorry. That's supposed to say Barry. Oh, typo. But we're off to a great start, aren't we?
Yeah. Anyway, Google is showing a lot of Reddit these days. We all know that. There's a lot of results out there, and Reddit is definitely questionable in terms of the quality of content. It's really quite an excellent resource, but you just can't ever take everything directly and honest. Like you can't, you gotta take everything with a grain of salt, essentially. AI is gonna love trying to translate that anyway. It's sometimes dangerous, sometimes incorrect, but it also can be beneficial. So what Google has decided to do is they're testing a section called People's Insights with a subheading from online conversations. The section includes several dropdowns related to the search, each with references to various online conversations at places like Reddit, Quora, etc. So when there's a medical-related searches, they have added a disclaimer below all this, and it's quite prominent. This is for informational purposes only. For medical advice or diagnosis, consult a professional, which is very good. I'm glad they've done that. I don't know, pardon me, how this is going to play out, but it looks like a good idea. Universal search has sure gotten universal, though. I mean, it's amazing how many different aspects of how many different ways a page can appear in Google search. And now this is yet another way, having these different tips and stuff in there. So interesting. It's definitely a way to tackle all that content on Reddit. I just shudder at the thought of people taking everything there seriously.
Reddit is... it's one of those guilty pleasures, you know, when I'm bored, I'll go there and you get trapped. You can't leave because there's so much, there's good stuff on Reddit. There's like a whole good area of Reddit. And then there's, you know, troll land where it's just, you can't trust anything anybody says and it's just garbage. And if you use Reddit at all, you really need to know how to filter through and fact check, unless you're there for pure entertainment purposes, looking at videos or whatever, who knows, but,
yeah, and, you know, from an SEO standpoint, I don't know how much benefit. I mean, there's always a benefit to being mentioned somewhere, having your website mentioned, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of benefit in terms of link backs and such from Reddit. However, if you get your clients out there and talking about you on Reddit and suggesting your business, that's a good idea. I mean, it's got to be authentic. There's always that. You have to...
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Make sure it's authentic. And but I have seen it work. So do keep that in mind. It is a pretty good resource for that. And we've been lucky to have someone mention us in the past, and we've gotten a few leads from Reddit. So I was a really nice surprise. I was quite shocked, actually. You heard from us about us from where? Wow, that's interesting. I had to do some research and I found a nice comment from a client about us. So there you go.
Reddit is definitely not a site I think of as a lead gen tool. But it certainly can be.
No, it's, again, I think it's because as soon as you start thinking of it as lead gen tool, it becomes less authentic. You know, whatever comes from it or whatever you're trying to do to make it happen. This just happened naturally for us, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets that kind of lucky. All right. What's going on here with the Google Knowledge Panels?
Yeah, so it's just a small change, and I apologize for the example. I'm not a fan of Elon Musk myself, but that's the example that Barry used, and I just went with it instead of, you know, I decided to be lazy. I could have looked for a different example, but I didn't. So in the knowledge panels, Google's testing some expandable sections. This is appearing through desktop search specifically. So in the example, if you search for Elon Musk, a little box pops up as part of the knowledge panel. And it says children, and it's got a list of, you know, a few of his children, two or three of them. And then if you click the little, you know, there's a little arrow in the top right corner, that box expands and it gives you more information. And then another link that you can click to expand that even further with a new Google search about, in this case, his children. Google's definitely been doing that a bit more now with this expanding content. Like people also ask kind of expands a bit and has for a while. What was the one we just talked about? The People's Insight. So that one expands. It's the first time I've seen it on Knowledge Panel. It's just kind of cool. It just makes it a bit easier. I do wonder though, like if you've got your content appearing there, it's just one more way to keep you at Google and not send you somewhere else. So that's kind of a downside to it, of course. But just interesting changes at Knowledge Panel. We'll see how that plays out. I think this is just a test. It might actually be a permanent feature as of right now. I'm not 100% certain on that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so next one before we take a break is Google Search Translate feature can show images. This is from Search Engine Roundtable. It's a really small update, but it is interesting. So if you open Translate by simply searching Translate in Google, select your to and from languages and translate something, maybe a dog perhaps, along with the translation comes an image of a dog. Pretty straightforward.
Multiple images of dogs.
Ooh, multiple. Well, there you go. There you go. I have not tested that, but I guess it does make sense if someone is more visual. I don't know. Anyway, there are probably better examples.
They use the example of a baby. So this was an example where I wasn't lazy and I used a different example. It was an easy one, so you know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Excellent work. All right.
Yes.
We'll be right back after this break.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
And welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak. All right, now we got a bunch of Mueller files here. He's being chatty. All right. first bit here, Google or Mueller has dismissed Core Web Vitals as having a huge impact on rankings. Now, this was in response to an earlier bit of research by Andrew McLeod, which showed us, I couldn't actually figure out which show we talked about this on, but it felt recent, where he had found that a site with over 50,000 monthly visitors experienced a drop in traffic within 72 hours of implementing advertisements. So, and a significant one. So his proposition was that, you know, adding advertisements, doing that kind of thing to your site can be a major issue. And I believe it was around listening to your advisors that you should not be doing this. And they just went ahead and did it and everything plummeted. Well, John Mueller states that, quote, "We've been pretty clear that Core Web Vitals are not giant factors in ranking. And I doubt you'd see a big drop just because of that," unquote. Now, take everything with a grain of salt. I think it's perfectly possible that was caused by this. We've seen crazier things happen, and a lot of advertisements, especially ones that are really annoying, cause people to bounce off the site, appear right away, take most of your screen, all that stuff. That can have a pretty big impact. I don't know. Anyway, he also noted that having a website that provides a good experience for users is worthwhile, blah, 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 that, you know. Anyways, Core Web Vitals he's essentially saying Core Web Vitals is a good thing to go by because it's improving the experience for visitors. It's not so much about SEO. And you want people to come back and you want people to enjoy their experience there. Very clear, very true. But I think that Andrew's research there, it says to me that advertisements, when done really poorly, can have a big impact and likely did cause that kind of a drop. It is conjecture, I guess, on both sides.
It would be good to see screenshots or examples or be able to visit the site with that to actually get a sense of how intrusive those advertisements really were.
Exactly.
And I mean, without knowing that, it's hard to say for sure.
All right. What's the next one?
Yeah. So this was a guy over at Reddit was reporting that Googlebot continued to crawl about 500,000 AMP, accelerated mobile pages. Ooh, yep. I remembered.
Look at you.
Another win for me. Look at this. Look at me go. He had about 500,000 AMP URLs being crawled by Googlebot, despite the fact that they had been removed from the site. They were gone. He got rid of the AMP section of his site. And this is 3 years later. Google was still trying to spider these URLs. And the site, there's no sitemap file. It was empty. All the URLs were 301 redirected away. Why is Google coming back? So John offered two small solutions. One is maintain the current redirects. Well, thanks. And the other is remove the host name from DNS entirely. In this case, it was a subdomain. I am not a technical person, so I don't, well, I am, but not in this case. So I don't know exactly how to do that. But John had said, if it's a separate subdomain, it will generally have its own crawl budget. Also, with 500,000 pages, I don't know if you really need to worry about the crawl budget, even if we're not on a separate host name. So John's essentially saying you don't need to worry about it. It doesn't matter. Kind of a non-answer, really. And I actually had a similar-ish situation with a client years ago where they got rid of their website. They actually changed websites. They changed domains. And their original domain, for years, it was still indexed in Google. We went in through Google Search Console. I think it was Google Webmaster Tools at the time. Removed the URL. And then after several months, it came back. And everything was redirected. It was just crazy. So this might be kind of a similar situation where it's like a ghost. I don't know. Google just, they really want to index that subdomain. But there's nothing there to index.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of when he says remove the host name from DNS entirely, I think is just completely can the subdomain. That's the only thing I would do, because as far as I know, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Just remove it. Interesting. I don't know. Anyway, like you said, it's kind of a non-answer, but it's It's something. They replied.
Yeah. Well, one thing my kind of takeaway here is he says maintain the current redirect setup. And that's something I tell people though, when they're doing a domain change, how long do I need to keep these redirects up for? And my answer is usually forever. Yeah. You know, I mean, unless you can go out there and change every single inbound link you have going to the page that's going away, you know, you don't want to ever get rid of those redirects. Keep it forever. So.
Yeah. I mean, forever is a long time though. I mean, we've got links pointing to us from 2001. If those sites are still around, they aren't going to have much benefit.
That's true.
But if you can keep it going, why not? Yeah. But it can get unwieldy. Some sites get way too many redirects.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyways, it's always a shmaybe, right?
A shmaybe.
Yeah. All right. So last one here. I'll let you do the quote. Because I know you wanted to. Google's answer on ideal content length for SEO. Now, this is something actually John Mueller had talked about in a couple shows ago, I think, and we enjoyed his response. Here's another good one, though. Essentially, this is the question, though, via LinkedIn. Hi, John. Is there an ideal content length that performs better on Google search results? Should we focus on creating longer, in-depth articles, or can short-form content rank just as well if it's concise and valuable? John's response is there's no universally ideal content length. Focus on bringing unique value to the web overall, which doesn't mean just adding more words. And here's the quote that we both love, but Scott, you go for it.
Yeah, he says, if you count the words in bestseller books, average that count, and then write the same number of words in your own book, will it become a bestseller? If you make a phone that has the same dimensions as a popular smartphone, will you sell as many as they do? I love spreadsheets, but numbers aren't everything. And, you know, I often look for good analogies with clients. We get this question all the time from clients. I'm writing some new blog posts. How long should it be? Well, it's like, well, how long does it need to be? You know, it used to be you need 1,000 words, 300 words, whatever it was. And now it doesn't matter. As long as it's good, write well, write good quality content, and you'll be fine, probably.
Yeah, I hate towing the old Google line there, but it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's just no way around it. Just add your own expertise to it. Keep it high quality. Make sure it's something you would want to share. That's a good litmus test. And keep churning it out. And it does pay off.
I do get why people, though, fixate on the length, right? I mean, it makes sense. And, you know, even I will sometimes, I'll go in and be like, okay, well, let's see what's going on. What content is ranking for a certain term to try to get an idea what the client needs to do. And if you see the entire top 10 consists of 10 pages that are all long form content, and the client wants to write a 300 word blurb about something that wants to rank, you can see why you'd automatically think, well, no, I need 5,000 words, like every single ranking page in the top 10. And, you know, but the thing is, I think, in those situations, it's because maybe that topic requires that much content, not because it has to be long, but there's just that much good stuff to say about it, possibly. Mm. But if you can do it and be concise, I think your chances of ranking are just as good.
Awesome. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 podcast on Facebook. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Great. Thank you for listening, everyone.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.